I'm speaking this morning about glorifying the Lord, and indeed our lives have been truly blessed. We, as it were, walked into a wilderness when we went to Eastbourne, not knowing anybody, anything really about the area, but it's incredible how spiritually and physically and practically the Lord has supplied our needs, really according to his riches in glory. And honestly, I can't praise him enough. And our little fellowship that we belong to down there, they are getting some praise from my mouth, because I'm so excited amongst a small congregation of people what God is doing in our lives and how he's connecting us. I can ask Maureen, because she doesn't say much. She's a very quiet lady, unassuming lady. Just share briefly what's happened. It's just to glorify God, darling.
Yeah, we just praise God how he went before us. It was a long time coming, as you know, but I'm sure that was a purpose, because we enjoyed being with you all for 3 months or whatever it was. We were able to share and be with you before the Lord opened the door for us to move to Willingdon. And as Mike has said, it's wonderful how the Lord has made a path for us in the wilderness. Okay, our daughter and son-in-law live there, so we did know them there. But we've found Christian neighbours in our road. They've knocked on the door and said hello, and anything we can do to help you, and come for coffee. And it's been absolutely wonderful. And the lovely thing is, our daughter and son-in-law go to an Anglican church, a very evangelical live Anglican church where they live, and we go to the Pentecostal church, which is near the Anglican church, but we're working together as two churches, and it's wonderful how we're fellowshipping together and encouraging one another and having joint services. We have a joint service on Christmas Day, so it's wonderful how Lindsay and Gary are in the Anglicans, we're in the Pentecostal, and we're joining together. So there's like a bridge, you know, the Lord has made an extra connection there. And the vicar of the Anglican church and our pastor join together a lot for prayer and for praise, and we have joint prayer meetings. And so the Lord has put us in the right place to encourage our little fellowship, but also to encourage the Anglican church. So and the Lord is doing wonderful things there in Eastbourne with the homeless and all sorts of works going on there. We don't quite know what we're going to get involved in that sort of area yet, but we're available to the Lord. So anyway, thank you to the Lord, and thank you to you all for your prayers.
Hallelujah. You know, the Word of God says, don't lay hands on people suddenly, but they've asked me to minister already. And I said to the pastor, well, we better hold ground a bit. We haven't been in the church 5 minutes, so you better test us out and see what we're like. But the Lord is opening doors, and it's been incredible momentum that we are in. There's no doubt about it. God is in it, and we're accepted by the people. We're just ministering there the same as we do here. We sing and praise God. We glorify God. We had a night, Last Thursday, we had a night with the pastor and had dinner with him. And only to find that I've parked in the car park and got a £60 car park fine. So, you know, it's not always easy to praise God, is it? You did say that earlier, didn't you? It's not easy to glorify God. You know, you think, oh, 60, yeah, can we get out of this? Can we tell them we're old and et cetera and et cetera? Can we tell them that we didn't see the notice, but we have to pay up a little big. We didn't read the notice, and that was it. It was in a station car park. It was dark, and we got to lean in and Lizzie's with a brown envelope. It was always a Christmas present there. I opened it up, and it's a £60 fine. It was an expensive dinner with the pastor, wasn't it? But praise the Lord, we paid up and looked big and not even feel hurt about it, because that's our fault. In ignorance, we can plead, but we forget about that. But we glorify the Lord. We want to glorify his name. And I want to turn to the scriptures, to Luke chapter 2, and the very familiar story, well worn, about the shepherds and the angels. We, perhaps for time we can, because we haven't got a great deal of time, we'll only read Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Somebody can read that out nice and loud.
God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.
Hallelujah. I'm going to speak about glorifying God. You know, at the entrance of our Saviour's birth, the shepherds, the humble shepherds, were glorifying God with an company of angels, immeasurable amount of angels. And by the way, angels are created beings, like you and me. So in a way, we don't have any excuse not to glorify God. And it's easy to glorify God when we're on the mountaintop, but it's not always easy, like the vein and the thought and the move of the Holy Spirit has spoken to us this morning through Mark's testimony, that it's not always easy to glorify God. We have aches, we have pains, we have moans, we have groans. And sometimes we don't feel in the Spirit. But in all these things, the Word of God says that we are more than conquerors. In everything. Everything works together for good for those that love the Lord. These are the promises that we have to stand on. And we glorify the name of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when you glory in the name of the Lord. I didn't know what Psalm Ian was bringing this morning, but it said, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Energy. All that is within me. Praise his holy name. And really, is it a responsibility to praise the Lord? Is it an obligation? We're not really forced to praise the Lord. But it's a wonderful thing when we start to praise the Lord in the middle of our conflicts. Because it's a leveler. It brings reason. It brings logic. It's incredible what happens when we start to praise and glorify the Lord. Paul said, whether I live or die, I want to glorify the Lord in my body. I mean, that sounds a tall order, doesn't it? If you tell somebody in the world, they can hardly understand what we're talking about. But Christ is all in all. He's in everything. He blesses us. Day after day after day. Okay, we're horribly human. We get the coughs and the colds and et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes it's natural, sometimes it's supernatural. But we have every reason to praise the Lord. To glorify God. Because Jesus is in our midst. This great assembly of angels. First an angel appeared to them and said, I bring you good news of great joy, and it will be for all people. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God. Hallelujah. What a chorus. Can you imagine the volume? Can you imagine the brightness of the glory? Can you imagine those shepherds, the most humblest men of society? Really, they were shunned upon, they were looked upon as thieves. They were looked upon as people like travelers today, in a way. They were looked upon as rogues. But the Lord appeared to them. Hallelujah. He appeared to them. And they realized that this must be the Lord. Isn't it wonderful when the glory of the Lord comes down and it shines around, and we'd all have to fall down before his face. Have you ever been in a meeting or a moment when the glory of the Lord's come down? The glory in the Old Testament, it means heavy, weighty. And the glory of the Lord must have been there. I can remember sometimes at Bible college when I went into the chapel to pray, the glory of the Lord used to come down because we needed God so much. And there was a heaviness, a glorious heaviness. The presence of God. Some of the students would weep. Some would rejoice. It's a wonderful thing when the glory of the Lord comes down. Mighty things happen. When we start to glorify God as a church, no matter where we are, that is a wonderful thing to do. And they glorify God. It was a wonderful thing. Let us turn to Romans 1, verses 21 to 28. And really, we will find there we have a responsibility, really, in a way, to praise God. Or a divine obligation. Romans 1, you can put it up on the board. Paul was speaking to the Romans at that church, and about some of the other people were who had a form of religion, but denying the power thereof. They knew God. They knew his word, and it says here, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. When we glorify God, it's accompanied with thanksgiving. It usually is. You know, so often we can answer prayers, but we don't glorify God with our answers in praising him and thanking him and saying, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We sometimes tend to forget that when we glorify God, it's thanksgiving. That means sometime it may pay for us to come before the Lord and glorify him in thanksgiving. Not to think what we haven't got, but what we have got and what he's given us and the promises that he's given to us. You see, we can know God. We can know him mentally. We can know the word. But the Bible says that we have to glorify God. Okay, some of us are quiet. We're not so loud as Michael. But whatever we do, the Bible says, whatever we do, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Glorify God. And a wonderful thing is, when we glorify God, I saw this as a divine order. I'm going to speak on glorifying God, peace and favor. It's when we start to find, to glorify God, and we're mature in glorifying God, the peace and the favor comes afterwards. It's incredible. So often, it works that way around. We have to glorify God. Paul and Silas in the prison, they must have glorified God when they sang that hymn. Incredible. The Bible teaches us to glorify God in all things. Hallelujah. Because it says, in all things we are more than conquerors. And when we start to glorify God, the doors begin to open, new directions come. It's like the shepherds. Glorify God. And suddenly God called them to go out and to find out where Jesus was. Incredible when we start to glorify God. It's difficult. I think I told you before when I had cancer, I was determined, when I came out of that hospital and had that operation, I was determined to praise God and give a testimony of how I felt, what it was like with the fear and the trembling and with seemingly a death sentence on me, and how I trusted God. And I remember throwing a praise party at our house for my healing. We had about 70 people come. But the importance is for us as a church to learn to glorify God together. It's amazing. Somebody might come in and they don't feel too good. They might be on the other end of the scale. They might be the ones that wants to run to the bunker. But when we start to glorify God, God comes in and lifts us up. Hallelujah. Because God inhabits the praises of these people. That's what the church is about. To glorify God together. Let's have a look at Romans 16, I think it is, verse 5, quickly. We haven't got a lot of time, just we need to bring these things from the scriptures. It gives us authority to do what we should do. Romans 15, I think it is. Verse 6. Romans 15, I'll find it. Romans 15 and verse 5. Perhaps we can read that together over on the screen. Romans 15, verse 5. May the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ. In my rendering, it says this. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the spirit of unity amongst yourselves as you follow Jesus. Hallelujah. It is incumbent upon the church that we come together, praise the Lord, as one voice and one mind to glorify Christ. It's a wonderful thing when we glorify Christ. The Bible says that if Christ is lifted up, then I will draw all men unto myself. It's when we glorify Christ in our worship, sometimes our worship is more powerful than the preaching. Because God can draw through our worship and through our glorification of the Lord in our testimony, in our praise. Wherever we are, we can draw strength and energy, and the Holy Spirit comes and lifts up one there, and lifts up one there, and lifts up one there. And it helps you to break through from where you are. How many times have we come into the church and we've really been lifted? The enemy doesn't like us glorifying in Christ. The first thing that goes out the window when we don't feel like it is praise and thanksgiving. That's the first thing. I was talking to our pastor in Willingdon the other day, and Pastor Samson spoke to the word of the Lord. God spoke to me through Pastor Samson. And Pastor Samson said, you are to open your mouth for God. I went to the pastor in Eastbourne. I'm a new boy on the block. Not open my mouth, to stick my neck out for God. And I said, it's good to meet you, Pastor David. I said, the Lord, I said, this sounds very audacious. But we heard, didn't we, at Pilgrim Hall, that he is an audacious God. Is that right? So I said to the pastor, I've come to stick my neck out. Now, what would you do, Mark, if somebody came into this church and said exactly that? They're going to stick their neck out. You say, what's this one? Look out. He's going to be a... Don't lay hands on people. Don't do that. No, 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 no. But I said, I'm sorry, Pastor David. He said, oh, I understand who you are. And because God has been blessing Maureen and I am determined to let my praise come forth in the congregation of God's people to give glory and honor to the Lord. So anyway, I've been sticking my neck out for the past few weeks and I'm thinking, oh my. I'm getting confused now, because should I stop? They don't want to hear me every day of the, you know, every Sunday. So I said to the pastor, I said, oh, please pray for me, Pastor. I said, the Lord's told me to stick my neck out, but I can't stick it out too far. He said, Mike, he said, you carry on as you are at this moment in time. The congregation are being blessed. Hallelujah. And I thought, we have brought encouragement. Not us. It's not us. It's the praise in us. And as we glorify God, it's amazing what is happening. Oh, I wish I could invite you all into our little bungalow. And to come to a church. God is doing things in a wonderful way. The other day we were with the Anglican Church and the vicar is there, a really nice man, Chris, we got to know him. And there we are, our hands are in together and we're praising the Lord together. Things are happening. I spoke to the Bishop of Lewis. I spoke to the Bishop of Lewis the other day. It was only after a meeting. We went to a meeting because our church is a little church, but we're very supportive. We can boast that we send the most people out to the prayer meetings when we go, and we're linked to two Anglican churches. But anyway, at this particular Anglican church, the bishop was there. He said, oh, I've got relations. My relations used to live in Spain, and we used to go and have... They lived in a complex in Spain. I thought, oh, that's an excuse to go and see the bishop. So it sort of resonated with me, so I had words with the bishop. So, praise the Lord, I'm walking with the bishops, hallelujah. And he was just a laid-back guy, glorifying God. Oh, it's fantastic, this man, really on fire for God. And I thought, the Lord is opening up doors for us. And I believe it's because we're glorifying God. And you know what, when we've been glorified, get on to the next subject. The angel said, glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill towards men. Peace. You know, one of the things that we need to experience, and that will come when we glorify God, peace will come. The enemy wants to trap us and keep us, you know, in that same downward spiral. But when we start to glorify God and lift up and start to really, with our old inner being, claim the word of God and have faith in his promises, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds, it will come. This is usually the way. Glorify God and then peace comes. Oh, it's wonderful when peace comes. The Lord said, peace. I give you peace. Not as the world gives. My peace I give unto you. And his peace, it says in the Word of God, keeps our hearts and our minds. You see, this scripture here is, we so familiarize it with the shepherds. But if we look into it, we can see that peace follows after glorifying the Lord. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That's why they were celebrating. That's why they were glorifying God, because he is the peace, the Prince of Peace. He knows how to give us peace. Do you know, Mark, before you gave that prophecy come prayer, whatever you prayed this morning, I had a picture of Peter going out, tired, moaning and groaning, again to the same spot where he'd been fishing the night before. And yet he was doing what he did. Well, in it all, he was doing what Jesus asked him to do. And he was glorifying God by being obedient. And you know, wow. When he did what the Word, or what Jesus tells us to do, his troubled mind about fish was all over, wasn't it? He was going to catch the most biggest fish that he'd ever seen. Peace comes. When we glorify God, the peace of God comes to each and every one of us. Praise the Lord. Colossians 3 verse 15 says, quickly, because we're nearly out of time, let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Well, that's not an easy one, is it? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called into one body, and be thankful. Can you see that? Even we have to be thankful because we were called into one body, and let the peace of God rule in our hearts. You know, we always say to somebody, if you're moving out or if God is calling you, whatever is happening, one of the guiding principles is to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. When we went to Eastbourne, we were absolutely certain it was right for us. We had fought, we had battled over the house. The lady gave in, gave it up one time and let us down, etc., etc. But we knew with a certain peace that that was the place where God was calling us. And it's incredible. We got peace there now, and we're thankful for God at this age. I mean, finding a new life, 77 years of age, that's a big deal. But with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible. We glorify God. Praise the Lord, that psalm that Ian read, it was a psalm of glorification of God and what he'd done. His favor, hallelujah, to the Israelites, wasn't it? The deeds and the acts of Moses and the Israelites. Praise the Lord when the favor of God comes. Don't we rejoice when the favor comes? Hallelujah. We should rejoice more and more in the favor of God. Somebody said, that has anybody got a testimony? And they said, we're alive. Who was that? That was Sophia, wasn't it? Sophie? Well, you know what Job said? He said, you have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved me. Praise the Lord. I've got to finish 12 o'clock. But glory to God, I say. Let peace rule in our hearts. The Bible says we have to have our feet shod with the gospel of peace. Do you know, I thought about it. Peace is part of the weaponry. Peace is part of our defense mode. If we get rattled, the enemy loves it. If he can destroy our peace, he loves it. If he can get us rattled and dumbed, like a dumb animal, like a slave, then he's happy, he's rejoicing. But we refuse the enemy to rob us of our peace, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And we glorify the name. I'm glad this morning as we've met together. Everything has flowed together. There's been a confluence of revelation from Mark. Praise the Lord, Mark. Praise the Lord. You will find the favor of God, my brother. We will all find the favor of God. The Bible promises it. The Bible promises us, even in their gray hair, they will bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. Maureen and I are living testimonies of God's grace. We don't know what the future holds, but I know this one thing. We are going to keep praising the Lord. We're going to keep holding on to his peace. And I want some more of those favors. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.